Thank you, Pastor Emma. Happy Easter, everybody. Oh, that was a bit lame. Happy Easter, everyone. Some of you need some chocolate. All right, so open your Bibles if you have one. That's the title of my message this morning is Find Jesus. Quite appropriate considering what we've seen already this morning. And Luke 24, I'm going to read a few verses to you. Luke chapter 24, the first 12 verses. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and all the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen and the cloths lying beside themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself what had happened. We know from this account of the resurrection by Luke that it was three women who were close to Jesus, who went to the tomb first. We read in chapter 23 that it was Joseph of Arimathea, who went to the council and asked for the body of Jesus to be taken down off the cross and to place it in a tomb, and he laid him there. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, followed Joseph to the tomb. The three ladies spent their time before Sunday preparing spices and special ointments to apply to Jesus to preserve his body. They were expecting Jesus' body to be in the tomb. Jesus, having died on the cross on Friday, placed in the tomb later that same day. Jews observed the Sabbath, which meant that nothing was done on the Saturday. And so as early as they possibly could, and I doubt with very little sleep since Jesus' death, the three went quickly as they could to the tomb. The Bible says it was well before dawn they went to embalm Jesus. Have you ever thought like me that you knew where something was, but then it wasn't? On some occasions, I have lost my car keys. I'm sure I'm not the only one. I trace back my steps of the last few hours trying desperately to remember where I have left my keys. Quite often, they are not where I expected them to be. They are, in fact, somewhere else. I have found my keys in my jacket pocket in my wardrobe, in some obscure place in the garage, in the shed, hiding behind some tools, in my wife's car, in the laundry. They were never where I thought they would be. I am, however, extremely relieved when I do eventually find my keys. New car keys cost an enormous amount of money. They have to be coded to the car these days. There's all sorts of issues. Do you have the code? I don't know. What are you talking about? So it's much better if you can find your keys. And these three women had followed Jesus, They had followed Joseph and watched Joseph lay Jesus into the tomb. They knew where he had been laid. But then they arrive Sunday morning and Jesus is not where Joseph had left him. He was not where they had seen Joseph put him. They had done their preparation correctly. Luke 24, verse 3. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we think we know where something should be, only to find it is not there. And Jesus had given them pre-warning about his resurrection. Early on in Jesus' ministry, he made the statement to his disciples and close followers, of which it is believed the women were present. In Luke 9:22, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Jesus alluded to his resurrection in the parable of the lost son. For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he was found. Jesus concluded the parable of the rich man and Lazarus by saying, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Nobody actually heard what Jesus was saying. We are a society that prides itself on thinking clearly and rationally. However, in our society, just as in the Jewish society of old, there were fashions in ideas and clothing. My 23-year-old son said to me the other day, "You look like a hobo, you can't come out with me dressed like that." It wasn't that long ago it was considered inappropriate for women to wear bikinis down the beach. It also wasn't that long ago that the norm was that women should stay home and look after the kids and do the housework. Well, I'm not going any further with that. See, it wasn't that long ago. And the truth is, even if people say things over and over again, if fashion dictates that we should think something else, we will simply ignore them or remain unable to understand them. And this is what happened to the women at the tomb. They heard Jesus, but the words only went as far as their eardrums. Nobody had really heard what Jesus was saying. Nobody had ever dreamed that one single person would be killed, stone dead, and then raised to a new sort of bodily life the other side of the grave, whilst the rest of the world carried on as before. And these women were not saying to themselves, "We've got the spices in case he's dead, but let's hope he's alive again." They knew well enough that dead people remain dead people. And the thing too about this is that at the time, the women were not considered credible witnesses in the ancient world. And therefore, if this story has been made up by the Apostle Luke, there was no way he would have used women and would have actually described the story of women going to the tomb first. It was just not done. However, we know that Luke is a historian, and as such, he depicted things the way they were. The opening mood of Easter morning is one of surprise and astonishment. And the truth is, Easter is always a surprise. It is astounding what the Lord Jesus has done for you and for me. And every time we comes around Easter Sunday, we can be completely astounded, just like the women were at the tomb, and we should be, because it's the mystery of our God that has done everything for us. The BBC wrote an article in 2018, in September 2018, about Jesus' death and resurrection. They said this: "The crucifixion of Jesus is accepted by most scholars as an actual historical event. It is recorded in the writings of Paul, the Gospels, Josephus, and the Roman historian Tacitus. The most iconic image of the passion of Jesus is the crucified Christ. In his last agony on the cross, found in statues and paintings in glass, stone and wooden images in churches and in jewellery. Spiritually, the crucifixion is the perfect example of suffering, one of the most pervasive themes of Christianity." They went on and they concluded with this: "But the final theme is victory. The victory of Christ over death, and this is why the crucifixion is inseparable from the story of the resurrection." So, what do you do when, like me, you have lost your car keys and can't find them? You ask those who are close to you where they are. "Andrea, my wife, where are my keys?" She doesn't know where my keys are, but it helps me to ask anyway. They don't know, have a clue where they are. Will you trace your steps back, will you? And all that. Does anyone else have a household like mine where that happens? And you'll wonder, anyhow. Luke 24:10. "It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles." And in Luke 24:11, "And their words seemed like idle tales, and they did not believe them." The Bible says that the women found the stone rolled away. The Bible says that the women did not find the body of Jesus. Luke uses the word "find" in much of his gospel. The shepherds are told they will find Jesus in the manger. Mary and Joseph, Jesus' parents, find Jesus in the temple. A sheep owner finds his lost sheep. Healed individuals are found in good health. A father finds his lost son. Jesus has also stated in Luke 11, verse 9, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Jesus is countercultural. What you think is mostly not what he is thinking. He is a generous God. There is no more generosity than there is on Easter Sunday. And what he has done for us, he has given up his life for you. His whole desire is that you find him as your resurrected Lord. When you find him, you can ask him for his help and he will help you. When you find him, you can ask him to help solve the problem and he will help you solve the problem. When you find him, you can ask in his name and it will be given to you. Jesus rose again on Easter Sunday so we can be set free from our wrongdoing and our sin. Like the women at the tomb and the men back at their base, they thought they knew what was going on. But actually, they had their current worldview rather than what Jesus has actually said to them. The men sent by God to speak to these women at the empty tomb said this: "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." And these men were saying to the women, "You should have known you wouldn't find Jesus here." And it was pointless to bring those spices and those ointments to anoint his body. We can think we're doing the right thing, but in reality we may lack faith in what Jesus has said and what he has come for. The men, God's angels, had reminded the women of the details. The Son of Man must be handed over to sinners. He must be crucified. He will rise on the third day. Jesus was handed over in our place. He took upon himself our sin, our disconnect from God. Jesus was crucified because God is a loving Son. His intention was and always will be to love us and not condemn us. He sent his one and only Son to die on our behalf. Only Jesus, the Son of God, could redeem us. The Son of Man, as he called himself often, he and he alone can identify with us as both human and as God. The perfect sacrifice. We could never do what he has done for us. Jesus rose on the third day. That's how he purchased our freedom forever. He rose on Easter Sunday so that you and I can have a relationship with him. So that you and I can have a purpose for our lives. So that you and I could go to be with him in paradise. I'd like to invite the music team to come and join me. I say this morning that the gospel is good news. The gospel is good news. It dares to tell us things that we did not expect. Things we weren't inclined to believe and couldn't understand. Did we really expect the gospel would be something obvious? Something we could have dreamed up ourselves. The women and the apostles did find Jesus. It was the resurrection that made the difference. On the road to Emmaus, it was Cleopas and Mary. They had been with Jesus, but they didn't recognize Jesus. However, when they sit down for a simple meal and Jesus breaks bread with them, it was then that their eyes were opened. It's a symbol that every time we take of his bread and the cup, we recognize that Jesus is still with us. We partake of his body, we share of his blood. And it was then that their eyes were opened. He's not with me physically anymore, but he's still with me. They were just to discover him living with and in them. And I would like for each and every one of us here this morning to discover him living with and in you. And then there is Jesus turning up amongst his disciples. So Peter's gone to the tomb, Mary and the ladies, they've all talked together. And then out of nowhere, seemingly, Jesus rocks up. And he says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself." In the context of the Jewish world of the first century, what Jesus' resurrected body meant was a life after death. A truly extraordinary and yet now totally believable Jesus. "I am showing you that I am with you." How do you and I find Jesus? You will find him when you ask him to come into your heart. He will not let you down. You will find him when you pray a simple prayer, which I'm going to ask every one of us to do in a moment. The Bible says that he who seeks will find. Ask and it will be given to you. Knock and the door will be opened to you. It is a free gift. Will you open your heart up to Jesus today? Will you accept what he has done for you on the cross? You will find Jesus. And Jesus gave this statement before he went to be with the Father in heaven. In Luke 24, verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You will find Jesus when you pray a prayer of forgiveness and invite Jesus into your heart. Can we stand, church, this morning? We can never fully understand our God. That's why he's God. But here today, each and every one of us has an opportunity to receive and find our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'd like us to pray this prayer together that I will say. For those of you who may not have ever prayed a prayer like this to receive Jesus and find him as Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you at the end of this prayer if you will raise your hand and I'll see it and you can pop it down again. I'm going to ask those of you here that have turned away from God, your relationship is not like it used to be, and you'd like to come back and be in full relationship with Jesus, I want to ask you too, after you've prayed this prayer, that you mean it and say, yep, I want to find Jesus completely again. Be my Savior. Can we pray this prayer together? On this victorious day, make it a victorious day for you. A day of resurrection life for you, as we sung earlier in that song. A day where you don't have to worry about your future. It's secured because Jesus has done it all for you. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. You gave up everything for me. I repent of my sin. I turn back to you today. I receive you into my heart. I thank you that you have shown me the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you that on this Easter Sunday, I receive you as Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer, you have not prayed that prayer before, and you'd like, yep, that's me. Just raise your hand so I can see it. Just say, yeah, that's me. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Yes, you can put your hand down again. Others here this morning, you've not prayed this prayer and you'd like to. You know that that's for you and you'd like to receive Jesus. Just raise your hand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. For those of you today who want to come back to him, you've been out of relationship and you've prayed that prayer and that you really know that today's your day to come home, reconnect with Jesus. Just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Just going to give it another 20 seconds for anyone that's just, you know what? I need to do this. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can I ask Just those people that raise their hands. Would you mind just joining me at the front? I'd love to just, let's give these guys a hand. Let's just come forward, just join me. Love to pray with you, just to commit. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Keep coming. The others of you that weren't brave enough to raise your hand, there's still opportunity. Just come. God will bring you to the front. Let's make this a great day of celebration in the house of God.